With us this morning is our prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, 16th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He has served as the president since February 3, 2008. Previously, he had served as a counselor in the first presidency of the church since 1985. President Monson became an apostle in 1963 and has served as a counselor to three church presidents. Professionally, President Monson has had a distinguished career in publishing and printing. He has been an advertising executive for the Deseret News, general manager of the Deseret News Press, president of the printing industry of Utah, and the board chairman of the Deseret News Publishing Company. President Monson graduated cum laude in business management from the University of Utah. He later earned his MBA from Brigham Young University. He has received honorary doctorates from BYU, Salt Lake Community College, the University of Utah, Utah Valley University, and Southern Utah University. He is a member of the Alpha Kappa Psi Honorary Business Fraternity. In 1998, he and his wife, the former Frances Beverly Johnson, were each given the Continuum of Caring Humanitarian Award by the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph Villa. The Monsons are parents of three children. Once again, President Monson, we welcome you to Brigham Young University.
You're quite a sight. I've looked forward to the opportunity of accepting the assignment and the invitation to be with you today, for I realize you're the heart and soul of many of the parents of this church all over the world. What a glorious sight you are. I'm also pleased to recognize the officers and faculty members of this fine institution. My dear young brothers and sisters, you are in the prime of your lives. You're on the cutting edge of progress. You live in a time of extreme difficulties, but also a time of exceptional opportunities. I think the nation and the world have never been beset with a greater variety of challenges to meet and problems to solve, and you and those similar to you are destined to meet those challenges and to solve those problems. I know you can, because the Lord will provide the help you need. I love the passage from the book of Acts in the New Testament where we read of the confrontation between a man from Ethiopia who is reading from Scripture and Philip of old. Philip asked the man if he understood the words he was reading. The man replied to Philip, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Of course, Philip sat with him and guided him in his understanding. Just last Thursday, I was sitting in the room in the Salt Lake Temple where the First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve meet once each week. I gazed up at the wall which faces the First Presidency, and there I observed a portrait of each president of the church. As my gaze moved from the Prophet Joseph right down through President Hinckley, I thought, we've had great presidents of this church. Each one has guided us. His writings have stimulated us. His messages have inspired us. To show us the way, we have those whom the Lord has provided. Some years ago, I spoke here of the presidents of the church I've known, giving brief personal glimpses. Today, I'd like to mention each one in greater depth. The man who was president of the church when I was born and who was president until I was nearly 18 years old was the seventh president of the church, Heber J. Grant. He was ordained and set apart as president on November 23, 1918, at the age of 62. The church was a little different when President Grant was president. His personal office was what we refer to now as the First Presidency boardroom. He sat at a large, rather imposing desk in the enormous room, and just about anyone could drop in to see him. The church was relatively small at the time. A friend of mine told me that he and another young man had been asked to visit President Grant to see if he would come to their ward and speak at the commemoration of the restoration of the Aaronic priesthood they were planning. He said they walked through the front door of the church administration building, walked to the back of the building where President Grant's secretary sat, and said, "Is the president in?" She replied, "Yes, would you like to see him?" They answered in the affirmative and were shown into that beautiful boardroom. President Grant welcomed them and said, "What can I do for you two young men today?" They made their request, and President Grant responded, "Of course, I'd be happy to come and speak to the young men. Give me the date and time, and I'll be there," he said. He stood, and they thanked him and left. President Grant visited their ward on the appointed date. This scenario probably took place in the early 1930s, and I can assure you that everything is handled much differently today. President Grant presided during a time when there was tremendous change in the world, including the financial challenges of the Great Depression. He assisted in the development of the welfare program of the church and helped the members cope with the tragedy of World War II. He was a persistent person. As a boy, he wanted to learn how to throw a baseball. He was not as good as he desired to be, so he practiced hour after hour, throwing the ball at a target marked on the barn door. He became very proficient. He also was a poor penman, but through extensive practice, he developed beautiful penmanship. President Grant loved to stand before the priesthood of the church. Those were the days when everything was a little less structured, and he'd go to the microphone and say, "We're now in priesthood session. We're off the record. The press is not in attendance." Then he'd discuss any subject he chose. On one occasion, he stood in priesthood meeting and said, "I have a letter from a man who made a suggestion concerning what subject I should address at conference. This man said he felt I had spoken too many times concerning the word of wisdom and strongly urged me to speak on a different topic." President Grant continued, "That is one man who obviously needs to hear more about the word of wisdom, and therefore I shall address that topic tonight." And he did so. President Grant's favorite song was, "Do What Is Right." I'll add the words, "Let the consequence follow." Think of that, do what is right. And he lived by the words of the song. His favorite food was bread and milk, very common, simple fare. A favorite quotation of his comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. "That which we persist in doing becomes easier to do. Not that the nature of the thing has changed, but our capacity to do has increased." Close quote. What would be the trait of President Heber J. Grant that he would probably have you remember and incorporate in your life? I feel it would be persistence. Persist in all those things which are good and noble. After 27 years as president of the church, President Grant passed away on May 14, 1945, at the age of 88. I moved next to President George Albert Smith, the 8th president of the church, ordained and set apart as president on May 21st, 1945, at the age of 75. He was president of the church when I served as a bishop, and he signed my bishop's certificate. I believe one of President Smith's most noble accomplishments was after World War II. Starvation was rampant in Germany and in other nations of Europe. President Smith met with United States President Harry Truman and said, "We'd like to send welfare supplies to the starving people of Europe, but the bureaucracy and the red tape in post-war Europe are keeping us from doing so." President Truman heard his plea and opened the way. He asked, "How many months will it take for you to assemble your supplies?" President Smith replied, "President Truman, they're already assembled. All you need to do is say go, and they'll be rolling within 24 hours. President Truman was taken aback by this slender man who spoke rather softly, but oh, could he move things along. The supplies were sent, and Elder Ezra Taft Benson was also sent to oversee their distribution. Lives were saved as a result. This great leader had such a compassionate heart. A personal friend of mine told me of an example of such compassion. He said his uncle, Junius Burt, worked on the street department crew for Salt Lake City. And on a very cold day many years ago, he and others on the crew were chipping ice with shovels and hand implements from South Temple Street between State and Main. President George Albert Smith said to one of the workers who had no coat, "You should wear a coat today. It's too cold to be out here in this very frigid weather working as you're working." The man who did not know President Smith replied, "I have no coat to wear." President Smith then removed his own coat, handed it to the man, and said, "Here, you take this coat and wear it. I work just across the street, and I can get there without a coat." Received by that worker that day was more than an overcoat. Received was a gesture of kindness which the recipient of the coat and his co-workers never forgot. President George Albert Smith's favorite song was "Let Us Off Speak Kind Words," which he personified. His favorite food was apple pie with a little warm milk on it. What was one of his favorite statements? He always taught, "There's a great tug of war going on between the Lord and the adversary. Stay softly and safely on the Lord's side of the line." Oh, how applicable today in our lives. A trait of President Smith's, which he would no doubt encourage us to incorporate in our lives, would be compassion. This great leader had a compassionate heart. President George Albert Smith served as president of the church for 6 years, passing away on his 81st birthday, April 4th, 1951. Now we move to David O. McKay, the 9th president of the church. He was sustained as president on April 9th, 1951. I remember sitting in the tabernacle on that day. He was 77 years old. Just over 12 years later, in October of 1963, President McKay extended to me a call to serve as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. As I sat there in his office, he had me pull my chair up very close to him, and he put his hand on my knee. His eyes penetrated to my very soul. I will simply say this much about a very sacred experience, which I don't share often. He said, "Brother Monson, the Lord has called you to the apostleship. You will become the newest member of the Council of the Twelve." We both wept a little bit. I later wept a lot when I realized the extent of my responsibilities. President McKay was a man of many attributes, but one which stands out is that of consideration. He was always considerate of others. Let me illustrate. I was in his office on one occasion prior to my call to the 12. I did the printing of his books, as I did for many of the other brethren. On that particular occasion, I noticed a picture, a painting on the wall. And I said to him, "President McKay, that's a lovely painting. Is it a rendition of your childhood home in Huntsville, Utah?" President McKay sat back in his chair gave a familiar David O. McKay chuckle and said, "Let me tell you about that picture. A sweet woman came in to see me one day and presented to me that beautiful painting, framed and ready to be placed on the wall. She said, 'President McKay, I've spent the entire summer painting this picture of your ancestral home.' He said he thanked her profusely and accepted the gift. Then he said, 'Do you know, Brother Monson,' as he continued, 'that sweet woman painted the wrong house. She painted the house next door. I didn't have the heart to tell her. She may come back. So that's why it's hanging on the wall.'" Then he made this comment, and here is a vital lesson for us. He said, "In reality, Brother Monson, she painted the right house. Because when, as a young boy, I would lie on the bed, which was on the front porch of my ancestral home, the view I had through that screened porch was of the very house she painted. She did paint the right house for me." President McKay's favorite song was, "Oh, Say What Is Truth." His favorite food? Cummings chocolates. What would be an expression of his? From his own heart and soul, he said, "True Christianity is love in action." Again, the noble principle from President McKay that I would share with you today is consideration. May you and I, may we ever be considerate. President McKay served 19 years as president until his death, January 18, 1970, at the age of 96. Next, I mention Joseph Fielding Smith, 10th president of the church. He was ordained and set apart on January 23, 1970, at the age of 93. On one occasion, I was touring the missions in the South Pacific, having left my family, wife and children at home. I remember that when I arrived at Auckland, New Zealand, after 4 or 5 weeks of meetings in many countries, there was a letter for me from Joseph Fielding Smith, who at that time was my quorum president. He wrote, "Dear President, or Brother Monson, I've been thinking about you and thought you'd like to know that all is well here at home. And I'm very pleased that you're in the South Pacific area of the world. My prayers have been with you. We're ready to welcome you home when you return. Sincerely, Joseph Fielding Smith." What a kind and thoughtful thing to do. As one of the church's most prolific writers, President Smith's numerous books and articles helped educate generations of Latter-day Saints concerning the history and doctrine of the church. He was direct in his teaching of adherence to the gospel principles, and yet he was particularly tender in his attitude toward those who fell short. His favorite song was, "Prayer is the Soul's Sincere Desire." I'll add the next thought, uttered or unexpressed. A favorite food of his? I observed him at our luncheon table in the temple on Thursdays, and he seemed to love sweet pickles. I hate them. I would see to it that he got the sweet pickles and I'd take a dill pickle. What would be a favorite quotation from President Smith? From the Book of Alma and the Book of Mormon, he emphasized the scripture, "Wickedness never was happiness." I want to repeat it. Wickedness never was happiness. What would be his guiding principle for us? It would be gospel scholarship. He was truly a scholar. I believe we could say that he would leave for you and for me this advice. Be studious. I say that for you as student body members too. Be studious. At test week, you'll be grateful you were studious. President Joseph Fielding Smith served as president of the church for 2.5 years until his death on July 2, 1972, at the age of 95. Harold B. Lee, 11th president of the church, was ordained and set apart as president on July 7, 1972, at the age of 73. I was with President Lee on one occasion in New York City, where he had an interview with George Cornell, the senior writer of religion for Associated Press. As we sat there, George Cornell said to President Lee, "I'd like to talk to you about some of the controversial aspects of your church." As he mentioned one or two of them, Brother Lee said, "George, your readers do not want to hear about that. What your readers want to hear about is the great welfare program of the church and the outstanding education program of the church." Mr. Cornell began to take notes. And as a result, almost a full-page story from the Associated Press described our educational effort and our welfare program. No mention whatsoever was made of the controversial subjects of that time. This was the persuasive ability of Harold B. Lee. President Lee also took time to teach. A lesson I'd repeat is rather tender. On one occasion, our oldest son had a tumor in his leg. We were naturally very worried, as were the doctors. Our son was in the hospital to have surgery, which could possibly lead to the amputation of his leg. Brother Lee had been my state president as a boy, so I asked him if he would join me in giving a blessing to our son. He consented. And as we met at the hospital one evening after work, he stopped me before we went up the stairway and said, "Tom, there's nowhere in the world I would rather be, and there's nothing that I would rather be doing than standing by your side and giving a priesthood blessing to your son." The operation was successful. The tumor was benign. I shall ever be indebted to Harold B. Lee for being where the Lord needed him to be at a particular time. One of President Lee's favorite songs was "Praise to the Man Who Communed with Jehovah." I'll pause a moment and say, when I was first called to the 12, I noted Brother Lee was at the organ, playing the organ. And he said, "Brother Monson, our newest apostle, would you choose the song you would like for us to sing tonight?" And I chose his favorite. And we all sang it with gusto. A favorite food of his was bread and milk. Favorite quotation, and remember this, "Stand ye in holy places and be not moved." I repeat it, "Stand ye in holy places and be not moved." What would be a guiding principle from him? I would say he would encourage us to be in tune with and to be responsive to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. Harold B. Lee served just 1.5 years as president of the church. He passed away on December 26, 1973, at the age of 74. After President Lee came President Spencer W. Kimball, 12th president of the church, ordained and set apart as president on December 30th, 1973. At the age of 78. For President Kimball, obstacles became his opportunities. He was totally dedicated, a worker such as one seldom sees. He cared not at all about personal aggrandizement. One day I was sitting in the temple near President Kimball. As I looked down, I noticed that he had a large hole in his shoe. I mean large. The stocking showed. I said to Arthur Haycock, President Kimball's secretary, "Arthur, You can't let the president wear those shoes. Arthur responded, has he got that pair out again? He has many pairs of shoes, and I frequently hide that pair. But he searches and finds that particular pair most of the time. President Kimball was known for his statement, shows his humility. My life is like my shoes, to be worn out in the service of the Lord. President Kimball was totally, completely, unequivocally dedicated to the Lord. He was dedicated to living the gospel. One of President Kimball's favorite songs, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's remember that one particularly. That choice demonstrates his humility. Concerning his favorite food, I watched him for all the years I was in the 12 while he was living. He'd fill a glass with milk. Then he would take some date nut bread and crumble it into the glass until it was thick. Then take a spoon and eat it. I did not follow his example. What was a favorite quotation or a lesson from him? Lengthen your stride. He had to lengthen our stride. We had to, in order to keep up with him. President Kimball, what would be a guiding principle? I asked him from his life. And then I answered it. I believe it would be dedication. Spencer W. Kimball served as president of the church for 12 years until his death on November 5th, 1985, at the age of 90. Brother Hinckley and I served with him on the Missionary Executive Committee, so we were with him every Tuesday morning assigning missionaries. And the three of us had a very good camaraderie together. One day he said to Brother Hinckley and me, is this the night where the parents are coming to visit with the mission presidents who are here for conference, and we're to have our offices ready for them? And Brother Hinckley and I said, yes, it is, President. Is your office ready, Tom? I said, yes, it is. Is your office ready, Gordon? Yes, it is. Will the two of you carry on with the meeting while I make my office ready? He carried a stack of papers that thick and would thumb through them constantly until they were worn out on the edge. And he began to take care of cleaning up his office so that it would be ready for the parents of missionaries. He emptied the files, put them in the closet, and then he moved everything off of his desk and moved it to a secretary's desk. And then he picked up that big stack of papers he usually carried and threw it in his refrigerator. It was the only place left. So he refrigerated his notes. And then he said, now I'm ready. But you had to love him. You had to love Spencer W. Kimball. You just had to. I'll introduce one little thought. He sent for me one day. He said, Tom, could you come in and help me with the problem I have? I said, sure. So I went into his office, and he had a man sitting there. I hope he's not related to you. But Brother Kimball, in a sweet way, said, Brother Monson, this is Brother so-and-so, and he's not happy with the assignment which we've made for his son to go on a mission. Why don't you tell Brother Monson why you're not happy with the call the apostles made? He still didn't catch on. He's assigned to the New England mission. I don't want him to go to the New England mission. I want him to go to the Old England mission. And then Brother Kimball, with a smile, said, "And which mission would you have him assigned to in those in Great Britain?" "Oh, any of them, any of them." He said, "Well, now let's see. There's Bristol. There's London. There's London South." And he named them all. "Now, which one?" And again, he said, "Oh, no, you go ahead." "No, since you, as the father, rather than Brother Monson and I, as apostles, are making your missionary son's assignment, you name it." I've never seen a man told off so adroitly, and yet he didn't recognize he was being told off. He said, "Well, that one you mentioned, Bristol, that sounds good. Send him to Bristol." And after he left, Brother Kimball said, "Aren't some parents unusual?" He would not use a word I might have used. But then, he wasn't in the Navy like I was. That line is not in my prepared message. Now I come to Ezra Taft Benson, 13th president of the church. He was ordained and set apart as president on November 10th, 1985. I had the privilege of serving as his second counselor during the years he was president. President Benson was a generous leader. I was in his office one day when I was a member of the 12, and we were chatting. I noticed that he had a beautiful hand-tooled riding saddle sitting on a display in his room. It had been given to him in honor of his service as Secretary of Agriculture. I said, "My Brother Benson, that's the most beautiful saddle I've ever seen." He replied, "Do you want it? Why don't you take it? You like to ride horses." I assured him that although I appreciated the gesture, I couldn't take the saddle. President Benson was the only president of the church to have received the honor of most preferred man at BYU when he was a student here. We'll have a moment of silence for that one. I think the female student body are the only ones allowed to vote. Well, early in his apostolic years, President Benson was called by President George Albert Smith to leave home and family and fill a special mission to war-torn Europe. The magnitude of his call was overwhelming. For 10.5 months, President Benson labored night and day, blessing the members of the church in Europe who'd suffered through years of war, giving them nourishment for their bodies and everlasting hope for their souls. From the chaos of war came saints scattered, battered, and very much in need. To them came Ezra Taft Benson, with his superb organizational skills and with the inspiration of Almighty God. Through the Inspired Welfare Program of the church, hundreds of tons of life-saving food and clothing were transported across the vast Atlantic Ocean and, under the direction of this gifted leader, distributed to the hungry, the cold, the homeless. What a personally satisfying and spiritually rewarding experience it was for me to serve as one of President Benson's counselors in the first presidency of the church. President Benson's favorite song was "How Great Thou Art." His favorite food, fresh raspberries. And we had them as often as possible at our temple luncheons when he was president of the church. His favorite quotation was from the Book of Mormon, "Words spoken by the Lord." It's in the form of a question. I pose it to you. What manner of man ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am. That would apply to every man here today, every woman here today. Even as I am, said the Lord. What is a guiding principle from President Benson? I'd have to say it is love. The manner in which he treated his sweet companion, and indeed all with whom he came in contact, provides an example for all of us. Let us love one another. Ezra Taft Benson served as president of the church for 8.5 years, until his death on May 30th, 1994, at the age of 94. We come now to Howard W. Hunter, 14th president of the church, was ordained and set apart on June 5th, 1994, at the age of 86. It was my privilege once again to serve as second counselor. My most tender meeting with Howard W. Hunter took place on October 3rd, 1963, as I entered the outer office of President David O. McKay, who had invited me to come and visit with him that Thursday afternoon. For what purpose, I knew not at that time. Howard W. Hunter had been checking some matters with President McKay's secretary. Brother Hunter and I greeted each other and shook hands. I noted the tears in his eyes, yet the smile on his lips, the catch in his voice. I did not understand why he was so emotional. After visiting with President McKay, where he extended to me my call to the 12, I understood. Howard W. Hunter had known why I was there that afternoon. He'd been where I was now going. He'd felt the feelings I was soon to experience. One of President Hunter's hallmarks was that of courtesy. Whether in a moment of pleasant conversation or in times of constant pain, he was ever courteous. On one occasion, a man who had been painting in President Hunter's home said to me, "President Hunter is so remarkable. He graciously thanked me and my crew for painting your room. He commented on the color match, the absence of brush or roller marks, and repeated a hearty thank you as he shook my hand when we finished our work and departed his presence." President Hunter loved all the hymns, but one of his favorites was, "Have I Done Any Good in the World Today?" One of his favorite foods was Alaskan crab. Before I move on, I was with him one day and a member of the welfare committee, and Brother Hunter had taken a long time setting people apart. You know, it was a division of a steak. And we hadn't had anything to eat. And the man from the welfare committee said, "Could we go to this fish restaurant? They have Alaskan crab, and that's my favorite." And Brother Hunter said, "Fine choice, fine choice." Then he went right through a red light. And he just smiled, you know. And then he went through a second red light. And then he said, by the way, I'm colorblind. He said, "I have to see where the light is. Then I know which color it is." I said, "Brother Hunter, would you like me to drive?" He said, "Well, I think you and the welfare man might be a little happier if you did." So I drove the rest of the way. Well, what would be one of his favorite quotations? He loved the scripture found in Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 2. "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips." Modesty, modesty, modesty. What would be a guiding principle from President Hunter's life? I believe it would be his ability always to look for the best in people. Such an important quality to emulate. President Hunter died March 3rd, 1995, at the age of 87. Finally, brothers and sisters, I come to Gordon B. Hinckley, 15th president of the church, ordained and set apart on March 12, 1995, at the age of 84. 2 years after he was ordained a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in 1961, I joined him in that quorum. And we sat side by side for most of the next 44 years. We'd known each other for many years prior to our calls to the 12. He was a choice and beloved friend, as well as a trusted and respected colleague. President Hinckley is the president of the church most of you remember best, for he was president during much of the time you were growing to young adulthood. He was a kind man who taught and who lived tolerance, never disparaging another person's beliefs. President Hinckley was a wordsmith. I repeat the word, wordsmith. He was well-read and a scholar, and he could put words and phrases together in such a way that it was a pleasure to listen to his messages. As many of you know, each Thursday morning, the members of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles have a meeting in the Salt Lake Temple. We're driven in carts underground from the church office parking lot to the temple. During the cold winter months, President Hinckley always wore a coat and a hat. During the brief ride, as our cart passed under Main Street, President Hinckley knew that we were within the confines now of the temple, rather than under the street. And without a word, he would remove his hat, place it in his lap. He seemed to know instinctively when that moment arrived. It was such a simple, yet profound expression of reverence and respect for the house of the Lord, and it made a deep impression on me. All of you will recall that during the last few years of his life, President Hinckley always had a cane with him. He'd walk to a seat in the conference center while waving to the crowd with his cane, or using it, you know, to tap someone on the shoulder. President Hinckley and I, for years, went to the same doctor. And during one of my visits a few years ago, the doctor said to me, "Could you please do me a favor? President Hinckley should use his cane for walking because it steadies him. The last thing we want is for him to fall and break a hip or worse. Instead, he waves it around and doesn't use it when he walks. Tell him the cane has been prescribed by his doctor and he needs to use it as it was meant to be used." I listened to the physician's request. He's my doctor, too. And then I replied, "Doctor, I am President Hinckley's counselor. You are his doctor. You tell him." One of President Hinckley's favorite hymns has words written by Rudyard Kipling. That's the British in him. "God of our fathers known of old." One of his favorite desserts was pie and ice cream. He loved the prophet Joseph Smith. He loved the Savior. A favorite quotation was taken from the words of the prophet Joseph concerning the Savior. "And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him, even on the right hand of God. And we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father." What would be a guiding principle from President Hinckley's life? It is one which we would all do well to follow. Do your best. Gordon B. Hinckley served as president of the church for nearly 13 years until his death on January 27, 2008, at the age of 97. What can we learn from the prophets whom I've known and about whom I have visited with you today? We can learn that they never wavered, never faltered, never failed, that they are men of God. May we be persistent in those things which are good and noble. May we ever stay safely on the Lord's side of the line. May we be considerate, studious, and responsive to the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. May we be dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we love one another and always look for the best in people. May we do our best in all that we do. God bless you, my dear young friends. Remember, there's another whom you can follow, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come follow me. Let us follow him. He has sent presidents of the church who we can have as a guide and whom we can follow. He himself extended that kind, generous, personal invitation when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." As the 16th president of the church, my story is yet to be summarized by those who will follow. In the meantime, I pledge my life, my strength, all that I have to offer in serving the Lord and in directing the affairs of his church in accordance with his will and by his inspiration. I invoke his blessings upon you in this crowded audience. I bless you that you may follow the teachings of prophets, that your lives may thereby be enriched. I bless you that you may have joy in your hearts, that you will have peace within your souls, that you will have contentment in seeing the influence for good that each one of you has upon the lives of others. And I do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.